Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, at least it isn't like Groundhog Day because it snowed today, but it's not tomorrow. Aramis Brazaris, how are you tonight, sir?
I got no snow. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you suck diddly up, sir. In the words of Ned Flanders. So let's get right into it. All right. Good evening, everybody. So as we like to do the first thing every week, we want to take a second to thank our sponsor. We want to remind you that this episode of the Planestalkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, and again, Steve posted this week like a picture of the store, it's looking phenomenal. Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike, with locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Don't forget, folks, you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PLANESTALKERS at checkout. And I think they're going to try to get things functioning again within the next couple of weeks when Governor lifts the order. So that'll be the time to do it. I got to get my box ordered anyway. So, but besides that, we also want to take this second to recognize our Planeswalker patrons, Ian, Walter, George, Josh, and Zach, who really do help the show out in so many ways. We've drawn for our events in April. George won the Play My Host contest, and I got to get with him and try to schedule a time to do that. And he's going to face me soon, and Walter won the Play My Deck. We did that, I think, 2 weeks ago. That went off without a hitch. It was really kind of fun. So, you know, we want to say thank you to guys there for that. And, you know, if you want to get into these drawings, just go to https://patreon.com/planestalkers. So, and of course it is untapped, so, you know, have to untap. Tonight's untap of choice is Tangerine Express IPA from Stone... Oh, it's semi-invisible, Aramis.
Kind of. Oh, it's fading in and out. It's it's non-corporeal.
So, this is kind of good. I've actually had this weekend, so... kind of excited. I was like, I want something a little light tonight. So,
okay.
Believe me, not the double IPA, because we'd like the show to stay on the rails as much as humanly possible.
When's the last time that happened?
2010, maybe.
I remember back when. Never mind.
So, oh, that's still good. It's got such a nice hoppy flavor. It's a good week here. We got a lot coming up tonight. Obviously, we're going to talk about the big announcement today for the Planeswalker points from Magic. They're going to be retiring them. We're going to go into some of the Secret Lair announcement that they gave us this week. We want to then kind of talk and pivot, talk about Standard, both maybe Constructed as well as, you know, a little bit of Limited there. Yes, that's for you. and then we'll talk about some of the Arena stuff, and we're going to do that up front because in Main 2, we're actually starting our Magic 101 segment. So we're going to be doing that for the next couple of weeks just to kind of give you guys some tips, like if you're a beginner, if this is the first time, you know, this would be where you want to listen. We're going to talk about, this week we're going to talk about mana and how to build it into your decks the right amount, how to find out what you need, etc., etc. So we'll go over the Ikoria League and tell you where we're at. We are at our finals. We've got our finalists. They're going to play this week. And then go into an iTunes review we have. So we've got a nice packed show, but really, before we even get into that, Aramis, how the heck are you, man? How's things going? How's quarantine treating you?
I want to go outside. I want to do stuff.
Oh, Saturday was gorgeous. We did do stuff outside. I'm sorry to say.
Saturday was nice. Sunday was a bucket of suck, but that's okay.
Sunday sucked out loud.
Yeah. I was able to get a couple of... finally use my draft tokens and get a couple of drafts in on Ikoria, and I got trounced.
Yeah?
Yeah, I went 0-3 and 1-3.
Wow.
I think it's just because I haven't really had a chance to play the format, so I'm still learning it. But I have another deck that's drafted. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I'm hoping this one does a little bit better. It's been a long time since I've drafted with humans. You know, yeah. So it's having to get used to that aspect of drafting again, and it's tough. It's a lot tougher than just sitting there with a, you know, with a bunch of bots going, pick this, don't care,
well,
pick this, don't
I
care.
Think Steve knows better than you, apparently. He did 6 today. He went 3-0 and 4 of them.
I'm imagining those were in paper. Oh, no, they might be on Magic Online, I imagine.
Yeah.
That would be my thought if we went 3-0. So he's probably doing, like, the leagues. But no, it's even though, you know, I lost a lot of those matches. I mean, it is a very fun set to draft. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, little intricacies and details to go through with the set, and you know, it rewards you if you're able to, like, either go into one of the main archetypes or you open. There's a lot of bombs. So yeah,
there's,
you know,
a lot of bombs. A
lot of bombs. So you just gotta, you know, I was hoping to open a Crystalline Giant. Didn't happen, so I got, you know, that sucked.
Yeah. Well, so nobody wants to see that, you know. But yeah, I haven't done mine yet. They're still sitting in my queue in my arena. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to get those. It's one of those things, since it's a person thing, it's like I wanna make sure I have like a good half hour. And the last week, I mean, forget about it. I have not had a half hour to really do it. Even though I take a lunch every day, I need to walk away from my desk when I do it. This has been a crazy week. It's, you know, I work in IT, and, you know, I've got people working from home, so it's new to everybody. And every week, our data center, the people in charge of our infrastructure on a grand scale, they will introduce a new tool or a new idea. And so it's like, yay. So I end up spending most of the day on calls with, like, screen sharing and doing this. And I do. I love my job. I love servicing people. But sometimes it's just like, ugh. And I'm just like, I'm physically exhausted. So it's like sitting down to play a draft is kind of like, eh.
I mean, well, and the one thing you do have to keep in mind, this happens a lot in Arena. And I think that happened a lot in Magic Online, too, is that both of the times that I drafted, it was a little less so the second time, but the first time especially, there was one guy at the table who literally had like six packs sitting in front of him. And we're just like, okay, guys, just, we got to wait on this one dude to pick a card, but please pick a card. I know there's a timer, but come on, pick a card.
Oh, you're kidding me. Like, they're just taking forever and a day.
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's possible that they're, you know, reading the cards for the first time as they draft it. It's possible they have a bad connection. It's possible that maybe, you know, their computer froze, because Lord knows I've been having computer issues. So, you know, there's a bunch of different things that could be going on. But, yeah, there was one guy that kind of had a big old log jam in his part of the table. So, like, you'd see one pack going around the whole table, and it would sit with him, and then one more pack would go around the whole table and sit with him. And it's like, the whole thing shouldn't take super long, so it made it drag out a little bit, but it was still over within 20 minutes.
It's still, yeah, well, I mean, guys like that, you just kind of want to, like, not pop them in the face, but, you know, you hope you face them in the actual thing.
When you're doing an in-person, eight-person pod draft, there's timers on that as well, and if you're smart, you take all the time. Because you want to make sure you're making the right pick, you know, unless it's like a super obvious windmill slam. But even then, you want to make sure you kind of memorize what's in the pack, so you know what's going to come back around. Because it's a little bit, you know, it's good information to have. So I don't get too upset if there's somebody who's going really slow, unless it seems pretty obvious that they're just sort of timing out, letting the computer pick for them, or they're rare drafting it. You know, that's something else you have to watch out for in these in-person drafts. People might just rare draft.
Great. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to playing it. Oh, look, your wife says she's mentally exhausted. So I'm hoping that's because of, you know, Alejandro and not, you know, Alejandro.
he is a little reverse escape artist. I actually had to, he locked a door to one of the rooms from the outside. I don't know how he did it.
But so he wants to do it again now because, hey, that was fun.
I had to take the door apart.
You did not, did you really?
Yeah, because there was no way to open it. I had to take the handle off and everything and undo the mechanism from the inside.
That's insane, dude. Well, yeah, I always worry about that. My daughter's door downstairs has on it a doorknob from the people that lived here before, and they put like an actual like door with an actual key. Like, most of our doors are designed for, like, the parental, like, you know, pick the lock. Like, yes, you have a lock, but I also have a dime. So, you know, hi, I'm coming in. But hers is like a key. I'm like, one of these days she's just going to lock that door. She's going to lock herself out, and I'm going to have to, like, I don't know what I would do. I'd have to take the door apart. So,
you know, you swap team it. You plant your foot. You give it a good kick, just like in the movies, and it comes apart.
Have you met my wife? If I break things in this house, I'm a dead man. people, you know, you don't even want to know about it. So
you kind of already have a price on your head because you played Atraxa against her.
Yeah, well, the punishment for that is she doesn't want to touch magic at all. The boys are kind of getting into it again. Like, I got the Challenger decks, I showed it to them, they're like, ooh. It's like, yes, we'll all be even. Here, let's play Garuda. No. And, you know, and that seems like a good place to, you know, since I bring up Garuda, we might as well get right into it.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So we have, you know, so much to go over tonight. First of all, there was a major announcement today. Nobody had any idea that this was coming. But basically, Wizards just put out on their website, you know, just a, hey, everybody, how's it going? By the way, we're going to retire the Magic Planeswalker points. So Planeswalker points, for those of you that don't know, is the it's a system that they kind of came up with. I got to think it was what, 15 years ago now?
Something along those lines.
You know, the where they were like, you know, basically it was a way for you to kind of keep track of everywhere you play. It was a win-loss record, really, is the best way to put it.
And it was something else that you could, up until about last year, you could also, if you earned enough Planeswalker points and you went to a Grand Prix, you could earn buys. So
yeah.
you could basically get a couple of free wins at the beginning of the tournament if you had enough Planeswalker points. So if you, you know, were a grinder and you earned a bunch of Planeswalker points, you go to a GP, you're like, oh, first two rounds, I can, you know, grab some food, do whatever. I'm going to start 2-0.
Right. So what they're doing now is basically, because Arena doesn't use it, which is really what this said, is that, you know, they're saying adapting our technology to best serve a modern framework means some software and services must change. On May 27, 2020, we will be sunsetting Planeswalker Points and removing access to the Planeswalker Points website. Basically, as announced last year, buys earned through this program will no longer be offered for Grand Prix. You know, a little piece of Magic history is going away, but the future is bright and more connected. What they are going to be doing is they're moving to wins-loss tracked through your Arena account, really, is basically what it is.
It's your Wizards account.
But it's Arena.
Yeah, but it's also, they're sort of, I mean, long story short, they're killing DCI numbers.
Yeah.
So you'll no longer be able to get new DCI numbers after May 27th, I believe.
Yes, that's true.
And when you register for an event at a store, you'll have to use your Wizards account in order to get that. And they're pushing their companion app, which is the new, the new Wizards event recorder. So instead of the old software that they would use to do pairings and everything else, they're trying to push this new app in order to quote unquote streamline everything. So it's right. All through one focused piece of information as opposed to going through two or three different systems. But now it's basically saying, you know, some people are worried, oh, so now I have to give them my online information so they can contact me and harass me on Arena. Great.
Right, which is the whole reason DCI existed in the first place. You know, was you got to choose if you went and registered your information or not.
Yeah, otherwise it was just a number.
Right. So, I mean, this isn't a horrible thing per se. It's the end of an era. Like, I know my DCI number. Like, you know,
I'm proud of my DCI number because it's one of the shorter ones.
So, I mean, it's definitely, it is the end of an era, and they do mention that in there, but it's also like a change that I'm not sure how it's going to go. It's going to be interesting. I think it'll be easier in some regards on a Friday night Magic for new players. But then again, if they don't have a Wizards account
or a smartphone,
it was really easy for, you know, stores to hand them a DCI number. Mm-hmm. And say, all right, here you go, so that they get the participation points, because that's really part of it, too, was this was how Wizards tracked how good a store was doing, how many people you had for an event. Everybody has to be registered through DCI so that Wizards can track it as well as give you the credit for how many people are there. I guess this means that, you know, when you're bringing new people, you're going to have to get them into a Wizards account first? Like,
kind of, yeah. I guess I mean, they're still going to use DCI numbers through 2021 for Grand Prix at the Magic Fests. Right. So the main events at Magic Fests.
Why
can't they just call them Grand Prix? Anyway. Anyway, that's another dead horse. Through the end of next year, you can still use your DCI number. But after that, you know, you're going to be done. You'll have to use your Wizards account. But you're right. I mean, if it's some 9-year-old kid, because we have some really young kids that go to Kerwin's, and they show up, I mean, have they downloaded Arena yet? Maybe. Do they all have Wizards accounts, or do they share one account? Do they have to get their own now? There's some questions that need to be answered. Right. And I understand the need to streamline. I think overall it's a good idea to have one unified system to make it easier to track things. And the companion app can be very useful because, especially in larger events, you don't have to worry about, you know, trying to hear the announcement over the PA system. You can just check your phone for your pairings. That's what I did at the SCG Syracuse. You know, when the pairings were announced, they'd announce it over the PA system, but then instead of having to go to a gathering point and find your pairings on a sheet of paper, you just bring up the app on your phone and says, oh, I'm on table 37 playing against Joe Schmo, and there right. you go.
So that's a plus too, yeah.
There's pluses. I mean,
it's a good thing for in that regard, is that, yeah, it's good for, you know, stores to kind of, you know, but there are some smaller stores out there. Gamers Revolt that I go to out in Fort Plain, you know, he's got a smaller store. He has like a Wi-Fi, but it's not, you know, it's not high power by any stretch. And Kerwin's is not even that great in their gaming area. They don't want it to be that great, I don't think. But, you know, if you're going to require us to be using our smartphones, then you're going to probably require, you know, you're going to have to up your Wi-Fi game as well.
Well, I mean, one of the things that they use to combat that, especially at higher REL level events, you're not allowed to have your electronic device out during a match.
Sure.
So if it's, unless it's like one of the little boogie boards that you can write your live total in.
Which I love, man. Yeah. Those things are amazing.
You're not supposed to have your phone out during the match because it has the option, oh, I just got a text. Hey, that guy's got these three cards in his hand because the dude's standing behind him. The opportunities for cheating are there. I guess the part that I'm the most sad about, but there is a workaround, but I am still sad about it, is that once May 27th rolls around, you won't even be able to access the old website to see your tournament history. And mine goes back 20 years.
Why in the hell are they doing that?
I don't know. I mean, I could understand eventually shutting it down, but only giving a month's notice doesn't really give people a lot of time to really figure out what they're going to do. But there is, I have to find the Reddit thread for it. There is a website that you can use to transfer your data from the Planeswalkers Points website onto a PDF so that if you're interested in, you know, keeping the history of your tournament play, it can be there. So you can say, hey, 10 years ago, I played John Finkel. He kicked my butt. It's right there.
I played Reed Duke. I smoked his... Never mind. Let's not even try.
Yeah, because we know that never happened.
Yeah, but it's definitely, you know, it's an end of an era. It's kind of sucky in some regards in that they're being like, okay, we're done, see it. But yeah,
it's bittersweet. You know,
it is what it is. But in addition to that, going earlier in the week around Thursday, they came out with a new Secret Lair announcement.
Oh, that's like the 74th this month.
Yeah, but this one. I gotta tell you, I hate being so negative on the Secret Lairs. I don't think I've been positive about too many yet. And this one, I'm not going to be either. It's 5 basic lands, 1 for each color. And they are cool. They look fantastic.
Yeah, they're full art.
Yeah, they're full art Godzilla Japanese writing basic lands. And they look amazing. And they're great. It's hard for me to get around paying $30 for one set of basic lands. Like 5 basic lands, so $6 a card.
I like how they said limit 15 per customer. Who the heck's going to order 15 of these?
15, so 350.
That's $450.
$450. They're like, we're coming for that stimulus check, motherfuckers.
I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Most of the Secret Lairs haven't appealed to me personally, but I think that's because I don't play Eternal formats.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's like, oh, you know, the fetch lands would have been the closest one because it would give me an excuse to get into modern, but I'm not paying $400 friggin' for that, for one of each. And I know they're going to be offered later in the year, or they might be in another product later in the year or something. I guess they're making another appearance. But until that happens, I mean, I don't know. I kind of wish they'd do a little something more accessible, I guess is the word.
You know what? Why not make it four of each? You know, like, give us... And I understand that a lands playset is a lot more than four. But for the most part, with the lands you have, even in standard right now, most decks are running three or four copies at most of a basic.
Yeah.
You know, so even three, you know, be like, we're going to give you three of each for $40. Okay, you know, that's a bargain.
Well, and the thing is that yes, they're full art. Yes, you know, it's in Japanese, and you know, if you're outside of Japan, that's awesome. Inside of Japan, you're like, it's just another land. And I believe they're foil, and they have, you know, some beautiful art with Godzilla and other monsters. But they're basic lands, and they're not even snow covered. I mean, normally, if you want basic lands, you know, stores can't give them away fast enough because they literally have thousands. So, I mean, if you have a favorite type of art on basic lands, it's pretty easy to get a hold of it. I mean, even the Nyx lands from Theros, even the foil Nyx lands from Theros, you can get a whole heck of a lot more for $30 than $5.
Yeah. So I just, you know what, if you're going to buy them, you're going to buy them, and that's cool.
If it's your cup of tea, that's great. That's awesome. And, you know, they're beautiful. If you can manage to get a hold of a metric crap ton to fill all of your decks, you have a lot of disposable income, and I don't know, I would probably save it for a Black Lotus or something, but whatever.
But yeah, so that's what's going on with there. I'm not too sold on it, but you know, the real big thing I wanted to talk about here tonight is the state of Standard. We've now been a week and a half in Standard, so and it's shifted at least twice that I can view. You know, this time last week Garuda was almost unbeatable, was the deck to beat. A lot of decks are coming in under it. It's not the new hotness that it was, and you know, that's fine. You know, according to MTG Goldfish, Fires is still, but I think that has a lot to do with the Magic Fest that's going on online. Like, it's hard for me to take these numbers seriously because of Magic Fest Online and being such a... There are people playing it, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of probably a lot of the same people playing it. I mean...
Well, every... It's because it's the best deck.
Is it the best deck is the question.
I would think so. Looking basically because you're... The restriction of casting only two spells a turn isn't really a restriction with this deck because it's built around that. And being able to play this stuff for free, as long as you have the lands for it, I think it's able to build up its advantage so quickly once it hits four lands and drops the Fires because it's got Planeswalkers to protect stuff.
Yeah.
It's the power of the deck is undeniable. And the funny thing is that, you know, it's just one of the biggest adaptations that it made is one of the adaptations that a bunch of these decks made is that they all have companions.
Right.
Which, you know, Karuga the Macrosage, you play him for free and draw, what, 4 or 5 cards, a rip?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. 0 mana, draw 6. Where do I sign?
Yeah, it's going to be... It's a decent deck. I'm not saying that. I don't know. I've just never liked the deck.
It's 20% of the meta, man.
And again, though, these numbers are somewhat skewed. They really are. And again, I don't know that Jeskai Fires going to paper will be the same thing because a lot of these triggers can be missed. A lot of these triggers... Again, we've kind of had this discussion that Arena's kind of making some Magic players, paper players, a bit... Now, I'm not talking the big guys, okay? Obviously, not the big guys. Mm-hmm. But a lot, you know, we were doing, when we did the calling of the Modern event, you know, that dude came downstairs. He's like, you know, remember, he tried twice to use Forsake or the to do a fetch land, and Ashiok's out. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I got used to Irina asking me if I really wanted to do that. It's like, that's the kind of stuff that fires, you know, this. It's an interesting idea to think about.
Yeah, you know? it is. But I think to counter that is that, you know, to be fair, it was his opponent's Ashiok.
Right.
You know, so but also, too, like if you're playing a deck like Jeskai Fires. Unless you, like we talked about this right when we went on the air, unless you just pick the deck up within like the last few days, you probably don't want to play this deck in a tournament unless you know what you're doing and can remember all these restrictions. Because it's not really so much triggers, it's just it's restrictions. It's saying, okay, I can only cast spells with that are with, you know, CMC X or less, where X is number of the lands I control. I can only cast two spells a turn. I can't cast spells during my opponent's turn, so I have to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's things you have to remember, and yes, you know, Arena helps you with some of those things, but it doesn't tell you, you know, that you can't do things all the time. I mean, it helps with almost all of it, but it just, it, you have to be able to memorize it, and cards like this have existed in the past with restrictions on what you can and can't do, and, you know, yeah, people occasionally forget, but that's either preparation error or fatigue or just, you know, bad deck choice. So if you're gonna pick up a deck like Jeskai Fires, you have to be aware that it's gonna be complex to play, and you want to be willing to take that complexity and go with it.
I'm enjoying seeing Team Erek becoming top five again.
Yeah, Team Erek is back.
That deck is just it's a fun deck to play, and I'm looking through it though, and it seems like what it was missing was Shark Typhoon.
I love that card. You know what I like? The 80 card Azorius control decks. Mm-hmm. That play Yorion. Now you play all the counter spells.
Well, Bant Ramp is playing, you know, yeah. Not Bant Ramp, you're right. The 80 card
Azorius control. You mean people are like Essence Scatter is a main deck counter spell.
Right.
That's crazy.
Well, it is. I mean, I've been playing around with the Garuda combo a little bit. I play that a lot. I was doing the Simic version. I've kind of started pivoting to the Bant because it's nice to have the prince there, the Charming Prince, to kind of help bounce Garuda a little bit earlier if I can. And Dream Trawler's just busted out loud.
Well, yeah, Dream Trawler is good all on its own. Doesn't need any help.
Yeah, you know, I've been looking at that. I mean, the other one I've been tickling around with was a bit of the Simic Flash, which is not even top 10 right now.
No,
but I mean it's still fun to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't there supposed to be a Dimir Flash deck floating around at some point? But I guess that didn't really
there
take
was
off
a Dimir Flash. It just the problem is it's not. It's the same with Simic Flash. It's not quite there.
Well, the problem is Teferi. There's a lot of decks that still play Teferi, so
Flash decks aren't good. It's going to be very interesting to see what 20 brings with Teferi, or 21.
Reprints of Teferi, Hero of Dominaria.
Kill reprints me now.
Of, reprints of Search for Ascanta. You know, all the good stuff that I want.
I'm enjoying seeing a Mono Blue Flash deck come back.
Yeah.
Which is funny. They call it Mono Blue Flash, but it has Hydro Crisis.
Yeah, I think that should be Simic. I think that
it
might
really
be
should, but
I think it's a typo. But yeah. I like all the decks that are playing Loras, like the Rakdos deck and the Orzhov Sacrifice deck. I like the value that the deck can generate off of a bunch of one drops. It's crazy.
I have not lost to that though yet. Like when I'm playing Garuda, if Garuda can hang, if you can make it to turn six. And it fires, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
Garuda's
a
really good card, so.
Garuda's a really good... If somebody's going to find a way to break it out loud again. But it definitely has the potential. I mean, there's other ones out there. You know, Esper Izzet Phoenix was kind of hanging around for a little bit. They call it Riel Phoenix now. Fun. I played it. I played around with it a little bit. But I think Bant is tough to beat because of the ramping. I think you're right. Rakdos is, it's Rakdos right now.
Yeah, there's two different Rakdos decks floating around.
So, I mean, standard though, right now, you're right. Jeskai Fires is the biggest thing out there.
It's pretty diverse, though, if you think about it. There are a lot of decks out there with a decent share of the meta. It's just right now, you know, one out of every five decks is Jeskai Fire, so there, right. That's the one that's going to have the big target on its back. But I think overall, it's pretty varied. I think it's... I don't think anything's busted. There's some very strong stuff out there. Companion is the real deal. I would get used to seeing these for the next 2 years.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. You kind of wonder if they're going to, you know...
I don't think so.
What the hell's the name of that flash card based off of Ashiok?
Ashiok's Erasure?
Is that the... Yeah.
The one where it exiles the spell and they can't cast another thing with like the same name?
That, to me, is the key to stopping fires. Is Ashiok Erasure... Oh, hi. Counter.
They play Teferi.
Yeah, but I mean, if you can get rid of Teferi, and there are 1,000 ways to get rid of Teferi these days, you know, be interesting. I'm thinking about it. Maybe I should try to build a anti fires deck.
I mean, you'd have to get rid of the fires because, I mean, otherwise you're gonna get crushed by Cavalier Flame. You know?
Oh, Cavalier, yeah.
Cavalier's going to run in and be like, oh, I'm free. Oh, I have all this mana. Let's give everything +3/+0 in haste.
I just miss... I got to admit, I do miss Ixalan's Binding.
Well, you know, you're hoping for a reprint, so I suppose it's always possible.
Here's the thing, Steve. Steve just posted. He's like, I want rotation. Sad to lose Shock, but I can live with it if I can use some of those crazy mutate cards that just can't survive in this meta. Here's the thing, Steve. You're never going to lose Shock. They have reprinted Shock every time.
No, he's talking about Shocklands.
Oh. No, I think he's talking about Shock.
That's plural. He's talking Shocklands.
Oh, so yeah. He's talking Shocklands, okay.
Shocklands, yeah. Which, you know, we'll see what the next dual land
next land is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see, but what's going to happen with that. I
just want Nissa to rotate. Nissa needs to go away.
Nissa's a pain. Three Fairy is a pain. Shut up. Thrifari is a pain.
Yeah, he is. He is. He warps the game. If I'm playing control, I'll be happy to safely play counter spells again without having to worry about having my entire strategy shut off.
I mean, again, core 21 is Teferi, so I'm sure they'll come up with something else that's equally as degenerate. Because again, when Thrifari first came out, we were like, this doesn't compare to Hero of Dominaria. And then we were like, oh wait.
No, I thought the three I thought Thrifari was crazy. I thought putting all those effects on three mana was nuts.
Oh yeah, Steve's talking about Shocklands, he said. Okay.
Yeah. I mean it'll be interesting to see what core set brings. I just Rotation needs to happen to get rid of all the crazy planeswalkers from War of the Spark. Mm-hmm. We need to move on from that. You know, you have to be able to play control if you want to play control, or play instant speed interaction without having to worry about that.
Though. Does fires go down a huge after rotation once this planeswalkers go?
Well, I mean, it loses Cavalier of Flame. It's going to lose Sphinx of Foresight. It's going to lose Teferi. It's going to lose Deafening Clarion.
Narset. Oh, no.
That's the new Narset, yeah. It loses all its shock lands, so the mana base is going to be a little worse, although it does have a Triome. It's going to take a big hit, but they'd have to find something to replace Cavalier Flame, which...
They will.
That might be tough, but we'll see. I mean, core set...
The Cavaliers, they could just reprint them.
They could just reprint them, because it is from a core set.
Right, so...
So, it's something they could do. I mean, that was sort of their take on the Titans from the last... from core sets several years ago.
Oh, frack me. What if they could just bring back the Titans?
I think they said that they weren't going to do that. I think they said they were too strong. But they also never ruled out reprinting Lightning Bolt, so...
Not having... Or Lightning Strike, even. Like, let's not forget, Lightning Strike rotated. Like...
There's a lot of 3 damage for 2 mana spells, though. Yeah. A lot of them don't go with players, but there's a lot of options at the 2 mana slot if you want to deal 3 damage to something. Scorching Dragonfire right now is the way to go.
Yeah, they will finish the Tricycle. You know, that might be the lands that they're just going to go with.
It'd have to be another shard set, so they have to go back to someplace like Alara to do that, and I don't think they're doing that anytime soon. Mm. You know, because they tend to they we kind of, I would be real shocked.
Fetch Lance, sorry.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I know it's not happening, but.
That would be so nice.
Fetch Lance. There isn't anybody that doesn't want him to reprint Fetch Lance in Standard.
It would just be, Scalding Tarn should not be $100. I'm sorry.
No.
It doesn't even make mana.
All right, and the other thing I want to talk about before we go into main two, I don't think we have a combat tonight, is the Standard Challenge also happened on Arena this week. That was pretty... I did roll up a once or twice. I did a Garuda for one. I did Simic Flash for the other. I think I went four deep on Garuda. I went, you know, two deep on Simic Flash. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, saw a lot of fires, saw a lot of, you know... a lot of mono red, surprisingly, which I'm like, guys, give it up. It's over. It's done. Mono red, it's done. Best of one, sure, but you're not doing anything at best of three.
Well, I mean, you could still surprise some people, I guess, since people aren't really expecting it. But yeah, I would rather go with like Rakdos Sacrifice or Rakdos Loris if I was going to go with an aggressive deck.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're not kidding, Steve. But I definitely, you know, so I'm hoping that with that, though, let's see, what else did they do this weekend? It was that, and again, I'm loving these weekend deals. They gave away gems coins this week. Like, it was like 150 for 200 gems or something crazy like that.
Yeah, I was able to take advantage of one of those.
I was just like, you know what, this is a good idea. Like, you know, all right.
It kind of makes up for the Mastery Pass being garbage this time around.
Oh, the Mastery Pass is just a hot mess.
Yeah.
There's no value in it whatsoever this time. It's
Maybe the next one will be better.
Well, there'll be... Probably not, because, again, it's a short cycle. Because between this and Core 21 is only, like, you know, 67, 80 days, something like that. And then Core 21 to Rotation is... That's a little bit more like that's a bit more like a 90-day cycle. But this one's like Core 21's due out in like June, isn't it?
July, I believe.
Yeah, but again, well, part of that is too. It's like, you know, we can't get our hands. I'm wondering what's going to happen on the July 3rd. So it's like the end of June is when we get Core 21. So I mean, it's a very short, you know. Between these two, you add in the fact that most people aren't going to get paper Ikoria until May 15th at the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
we're like only 6 weeks away from Core 21 previews.
I know. That's why we're doing Magic 101 now. We're going to come up with like a 6 week, you know, curriculum, and you know, but you know, with that, in fact, why don't we just go ahead and get ourselves right into that? Again, no combat. Let's just go right into main two.
Main phase.
Okay, so as we promised, before Ikoria released and before this whole coronavirus, we were asked by, during our call with our patrons, about possibility of doing a few segments on basics, you know, the basics of playing Magic. You know, and so, you know, we kind of putting our heads together here, and this week we're going to kind of talk about a little bit more about putting together your mana base, which is kind of like it is. That's like the bare bones. You need mana to run a deck, no matter what color it is, no matter if it's single color or, you know, quad color, or, you know, the mana base is important. And knowing how to distribute your mana, especially if you're in multicolors, that's a skill you have to learn so that you don't have too much green if you're playing a Selesnya deck. You know, don't have too much green, and yet you're pulling a bunch of, you know, two white flower, you know, spells. Well, you've got dead cards in your hand waiting for that white mana. So, you know, Aramis is kind of our constructed guru here. So, you know, what do we got on that, Aramis?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're someone who's fairly experienced in the game, I mean, this is going to be a little boring for you, and I apologize.
Hit that plus 30 button.
Hit that plus 30 button, because this is definitely geared towards newer players, people who have come across the podcast from a friend or, you know, just on accident, and they decide, you know, hey, I'm kind of new. This seems interesting. Let me see what this is about. And so if you're new to the game, this is for you. So when you're building a deck, you obviously have to make sure that you have mana to cast your spells. You can't cast your spells if you don't have the lands to play them. Something you have to keep in mind is there's a certain percentage of the deck that should be lands in order to make sure that you're consistently drawing them, but not drawing too many. And generally, that's right around 40%. So if you're running a 60-card deck, that's somewhere in the range of 24 lands. If your deck is more aggressive and monocolored, you can cut down on lands a little bit. A lot of red decks that are really aggressive tend to only run 20, 21 lands. Some run 19 or 18, depending on how crazy they are. Some of the more controlling decks are going to run more lands.
I've run a 27-card deck.
Yeah, you can do 27. So, you know, but generally 40% or 24 lands in a 60-card deck is the general, like, general rule. It's not like a rule, but it's the best recommendation to make sure that you have a good ratio of lands to spells. If you are multiple colors, the hardest thing to figure out is how many sources of each color should I run to make sure I can cast my spells when I need them. If you're running a green and black deck and, you know, a good part of your deck is green, you probably don't want to be playing Grizzlebrand, which costs four colorless and four black mana, because it's going to take you a long time, if ever, to get to those four black sources, unless you have a lot of, like, either fixing, which is ways to get other colors of mana, or ways to search your deck for certain lands. So the best resource that I can think of, and luckily it's not behind a paywall, like the rest of the
goodness.
like the rest of the website is, if you search up on Google Frank Karsten Mana, and that's Karsten with a K. So Frank, K-A-R-S-T-E-N. I'm giving him all the credit for this because he's a mathematician or something. He's a friggin' genius. Frank Karsten Mana, and it'll be one of the first couple of articles. You want the most recent one. He basically gives you a chart that says, what does your spell cost? What size is your deck? This is how many sources or ways to get that color mana. Only lands you should be running in your deck. So, for example, if you're running, let's say, something that has three white in its mana cost, like Planar Cleansing. That's three colorless and three white. If you're playing a 60-card deck, you want to have about 16 sources of white mana in your deck. And what that'll do is according to his model, it'll basically allow you to play that card on curve, meaning on turn six, if you needed it, about 90% of the time.
And I put a link in the show notes, by the way.
Awesome. So, you know, it's probably the best tool. I mean, one of the things that I always used to do is I would count up the number of colored mana pips in my spells and basically divide it in half. And then from there sort of determine, am I heavier in one color or another, and add lands respectively. So,
right. And that's kind of how I've been doing it too. And for the most part, it works okay. Sometimes you get a little creative and it gets tricky with the dual lands. If you're using shock lands or if you're using the scry lands, it's like, well, does this count towards a blue or is this a white?
It counts to both.
Yes, exactly. That's
it counts towards both. And here's the thing too, is that even with this, color screw is going to happen. Mana screw is going to happen.
All day long.
Flooding is going to happen. That's part of the game. It's super frustrating. It sucks. There's nothing worse than losing a game where you can't do anything either because you've drawn too many, too few, or the wrong kinds of lands. Don't get discouraged. You know, take another look at your mana base. Take a look at your curve. I mean, you don't want to, you know, yes, the Titan, the old Titans from the old core sets are all super powerful. They also all cost six mana. So you're going to want to do something before you get to six lands. So you're going to want to have some cheaper things or things that maybe can ramp your mana sources up so you can get to these spells faster, play them earlier than you would normally be able to. Have some interaction with your opponent. You know, it's really, your mana is the base of it all, no pun intended. But you have to make sure that it all fits your game plan and the strategy of your deck.
And it's tough. Speaking as, you know, I mean, I'm not half the player Aramis is, let's be honest. I mean, you know, but I mean, I'm a decent player. But when I moved from being a pretty crappy builder and player to a decent player, came about when I realized that, running my super powerful, super strong, eight mana drop, double strike, lifelink, vigilance, flying, kill your mother, make you toast in the morning creature, that I had to learn to not play that if it doesn't fit the deck, if I don't have a way to ramp into it. Because, not only that, you'd see it in your hand and go, oh, I've got my game winner right here, and I've got two lands in hand, but I've got my game winner, and I just need to wait six rounds.
You better hope there's six lands on top of that deck.
And so, it's just, thinking about your mana base is very important. That's why we started with it this week, is that you have to think about your mana base, and then you have to think about the type of deck you want to build for your mana base. Like Aramis said, if you're going to play a control deck, all right, and you're going to, usually most control decks are tricolored. Most of them are, Esper, or there's even a Grixis version. There's,
depending on the format, but right. For the purposes of standard, but most of them are at least two colors or two right. to three colors.
So you're gonna want to, think about number of colors in your mana, number of, cards, and then sit there and go, okay, so I need 27 lands because, I need to be able to cast these spells. And that doesn't mean that your deck is now 63, because you actually throw your math off if you do that. Undone all the work you did.
the number of times I've given you like sideways looks, going, "You're playing 61 cards. Why are you doing that?"
I do that sometimes, though. That, especially when I'm doing limited or sealed, I play 41 card decks. I do that strictly as it's a superstitious more than it is. I'll be like, "I like to play 41. What? Fuck off." If I'm playing a Dimir, Mill deck, then guess what? Now you got to do one more, man.
Yeah, and Steven has a good point. Don't forget Mana Dorks and alternative fixing. Legit, this is important for limited as well. It is. It all is very important. If you have a way to get things that produce mana that aren't lands, as long as they're reasonably costed. A lot of the times the mana rocks nowadays cost three, and they're okay. The ones from Ikoria are pretty good because they cycle. So right. They allow you to draw extra cards if you don't need them. One, for constructed purposes, the best thing you can do as well, and it can get a little pricey. Luckily, the most recent cycles haven't been too bad outside of the Shocklands, but even those aren't terrible. Invest in the dual lands that are legal in the format.
Yes.
Because, again, it counts for both colors, or all three colors in some cases, that you're looking for. So it makes your job so much easier when, instead of having, 12 forests and 12 islands, you have 4 to 8 white-blue dual lands, and then the rest mixed in between the two, because it technically gives you more sources.
And here's the thing, too. Don't forget, okay? You do want some basic. There are things out there that destroy non-basic. Field of Ruin is back in play. Mm-hmm. And it lets you go find a basic land. Well, for a while there, with the Dimir deck that was going around during Guilds of Ravnica, one of your things you would do is try to kill their land base, because originally the Dimir deck had, all black and blue, black and blue, black, all non-standard lands.
I think you're talking Esper.
Esper, sorry.
Yeah,
the Esper control deck had pretty much like, four, so 8 of blue and white, 8 of, whatever, 8 of, you had 24 eights, of both
sets. Well, I remember playing Esper control.
Checks and Shocks.
I had three.
Yeah.
Three basic lands.
And you had to put those in because Field of Ruin could come in and go, "I'm taking that. Now go look for a basic land." "Oh, you don't have one, so I killed a land." Same with Assassin's Trophy. That was a big thing about that. It was like, nobody's playing basic lands. All right,
yeah.
Then.
Yeah, if opponents are playing basics and Assassin's Trophy gets a little bit worse, we're still kind of in that standard environment now, where especially with all the three color decks, or even the four color Super Friends deck that's floating around, Field of Ruin and Assassin's Trophy get a little bit better, because you can be like, kill that, get another land. Where's your land?
Oh, you don't have any?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. And I've run into that too with the fetch land they have in standard right now, where I've been like, I'm gonna play the. Oh shit! I don't have any basics. Frack.
Yep. Fabled Past is good until you burn through all your basics. In that case, you're like, I'm gonna thin my deck out with nothing.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Wah-wah. Can't even tap it for mana. So, I mean, that's really kind of what we wanted to talk about with mana today. And this is good for constructed or limited. Constructed's a little bit easy. I want to play limited in this set. Are you kidding me? The fact I could pull a tri-land?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because if you're playing limited, folks, if you're playing draft or you're playing or sealed, I mean, usually you're like, there's very few dual lands in a set. So you're like, yep, we're all playing monocolored basic lands. Okay, this will be fun. Yeah, and the games are slower. You know, sets like this where you have tri-lands, you're like, okay.
Well, and the great thing about this set especially, too, is that they have dual lands, too. The tap lands that gain you life, and then the tricycle lands, where if your mana is already fixed, you could cycle it away, maybe get something better. I mean, these are legit good lands. Don't be upset if you're limited pool deck. If you're doing sealed deck and you open a tri-land, if you end up playing even two of those colors, you run that puppy because it's really good for you.
So, I mean, that's what we wanted to talk about tonight. I think next week we'll go into, I don't know, like actual construction. We'll go through construction of like, you know, how to, you know, spells versus creatures versus, you know, things like that. So, you know, but if there's something you guys want to hear for this, this is why we're here. Just send us an email at podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. And we will, you know, we'll take your advice and we'll definitely, you know, put it in. So, but, you know, with that, while we're still in main two, I want to give an update where it's great news, man. This Ikoria win a box league. I almost want to go to Steve and be like, can I get another box? Because, I mean, I'm having way too much fun watching these guys play. Basically, we're down to our finals. The guys played this morning. So it is Mike versus Mark are going to be playing. They're on the clock. It looks like, according to our Discord, they're looking to play this Friday. So we should have a champion by our next show. But so far, it's been pretty good. It's been a lot of the stuff that they're sending us, they've gone 2-1. Like, they've made games out of it. I don't think anybody's really run the table. So... sure, Steve, feel free to post some of your builds, man. We'll put them up. But I'm very excited to see how this goes. The winner of this is obviously going to get the one, you know, Kerwin's is back in business. You guys are going to go ahead and get a box. And, you know, I'm going to try to find some prizes for the other players as well. You know, whether it's arena packs or something. Aramis and I will talk about that a little bit offline. So, but, you know, I'm very, very, very excited about to see who's going to win this. So... they're going to try to find a way to stream it. I think so. So, and you know, George and I this week are going to, I got to get with George and try to figure out when we're going to get our decks together here. Maybe I'll play it with, I think he said earlier in the show, he's like, I haven't run into a Garuda deck. Okay. Okay.
Oh boy. I'll have to make sure I'm there for that one. I want to see this go down.
Well, yeah, I could have you call it. So,
can I bring back my 1950s voice?
Huh? Oh, absolutely, the 1950s. If you don't know what we're talking about, you missed out. So, but with that, I mean, I do want to go ahead. We don't have an email this week, although Walter did write us on our Facebook page to apologize for not writing an email, which I thought was hysterically funny. Like he's like, it's almost like he feels like, you know, if he doesn't write us an email, we're not gonna like him anymore. So,
yeah, dude, it's okay if you don't have an idea for an email, that's totally fine.
If you don't write, you know, and you know what, there are other people that ain't written us. We got 8 people watching right now. How many of you wrote us? No, so yeah,
send us emails.
What's that?
Send us emails.
Yes, he wrote. He's like, hey guys, got a lot going on with Walt, which I assume is his son. And his upcoming discharge probably won't make it to tonight's live show, but we'll be back next week. Hence, no email. Hope all is well. I'm like, I kind of want to write back and be like, brother, listen, we know what's going on with you. It's all good. Like, you know, don't feel like you owe us an explanation.
I think he just likes the weekly shout-outs. I think that's what it is.
Well, we gave him one anyway because that's the way we roll.
So, there you go. So you're all settled, man. You're good. So
see what happens back when you're a patron? We take care
get back
of
on
you.
The horse next week. Or
yeah,
else.
Yeah, if you don't write us next week, then, you know, you're out.
So. Yeah, all bets are off at that point.
We're going to double patron you. And
ooh.
But yes, we so we did that, and oh yeah, George, he's like, oh dear Lord. I'm assuming that's to the Garuda. So, oh yeah, Steve said he put the decks in the Discord. Cool, we'll look at those. But with that, we just the last thing we got to deal with tonight is we do have a new iTunes review. I want to read through real quick. It came in Friday, and again, if you guys don't know about the iTunes review contest, it, you know, if you put in an iTunes review, no matter number of stars, although we prefer five, obviously, because it does put eyes on the show. You know, it will, you know, whoever does that, there's a monthly drawing for arena packs. You're in it till you win it. So go to the iTunes. We'll talk about that later in the end step here. But he did write in, he said, perfect for to and from work. Love listening to this on my way to work. I've been away from MTG for about 5 years, and this is perfect to get me back up to speed. His name is Boomer Bandit.
I like it.
I do too, because I'm a fan of Battlestar Galactica, and Boomer was cool. In the original, in the second one, not so much, but we won't discuss that because I don't want to spoil anything for anybody.
And it would because I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you have to watch that show. You've never seen Battlestar Galactica?
No.
The new one?
No.
Brother Man, I think it's on Sci-Fi like right now for free to watch. You got to watch that show. I'm telling you what, especially if you ever watch the original, it's 1,000 times better. But
I stay away from 70s sci-fi.
Yeah, no, dude, this show was off the chain. It was that good. Like, yeah, probably one of the best dramas I ever saw. So
okay. Definitely
worthwhile. But, you know, with that, I think, and look at this, we're right at the 56 mark. So, I mean, dude, we're doing it up tonight, man.
End step.
All right, so we're at end step, and while Aramis and I are putting together our, you know, picking up our cards, putting them in the case, rolling up our play mats, grabbing a pizza box, putting it by the trash, because damn it, our mothers still don't work here. Well, mostly because, you know.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah, I don't want to get too dark. Why my mom's not there, but, you know, she's not here anymore. But anyway, I miss you, Mommy. But we want to remind you that both Aramis... Wow. It doesn't take the beer to get us off the rails. It just takes time. Both Aramis and I want to remind you that we do stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast. I tend to stream there almost exclusively since I have like the master credentials. I almost never stream on my personal, but you can find my personal at Mindcrime73. But again, I tend to pretty much stream on Planeswalkers, so...
Yeah, and whenever I stream, I tend to go and it's simulcast on both my channel and on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel, so you'll find me there. But my main channel on Twitch is ArmekWRX. But if Twitter is more your speed and you want to get in touch with us that way and follow the show, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
And you can follow my Twitter at WR Benson. Although again, I don't tweet there very often. Most of the time, I'm out there to just follow up on what's happening in the career of Todd Bridges, because damn it, I love Willis from Different Strokes. You can find me there at WR Benson. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/Planeswalker. We took the last S off for savings, so it's just Planeswalker. But you can watch our show there. We record every Monday night right around, well, now, because we're recording now, but usually right around the 8 o'clock hour on Mondays is when we're in there. So if you hear us talking about the chat room and stuff, that's when we're doing it.
Yep. And finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. Although the Magic 101 thing is kind of doing that too, but
well, Axel right here is asking for sideboard help. Well, Axel, funny you should ask. Email the deck list to podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
Yep, that is our email address, podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
So, and send it there. We'd love to do that. I also host another podcast. We will be recording again this week because the show's on. But it deals with the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends TV Talk. I get to sit in the third chair, which means I have absolutely no responsibility and just get to make stupid, dumb jokes the entire time and try to find ways to derail the show, because that's what the third chair does. And I love it so much.
But you derail the show all the time here, so what's the
difference? Yeah, but that's because I'm the boss, and so, you know. Oh. I mean, we're in a partnership, but, you know, there's always, like, an alpha, and let's face it, I got the looks, man.
Well, yeah, you do have a face for radio.
I do have a face for radio. So, wow, this is just going way off. But you can find us there at Legends TV Talk on Facebook. We did talk about the iTunes reviews. You know, we just read the other one here. We do have our contest every month. Please leave us a review up in iTunes. You can do that through your iPhone if you have an iOS device. Or just go to iTunes on your computer, Mac, Chromebook. I don't know if iTunes installs on Chromebooks. But you can leave a review there. Any reviews entered, we put it in for the contest. And so, and it really does, guys, it does help to bring this to the show. If you go looking in iTunes for Magic Podcast right now, we do show up almost on the first page. So it really is helping to get eyes on the show. So we thank you for that. But on that note, Aramis and I want to thank you guys very much for listening tonight. We had a great time, a great show. We'll be back next Monday night right around the 8 o'clock hour to discuss more stuff that's going on. There'll be a lot more news, I'm sure, coming out this week. We're excited about the states opening up. Paper Magic will be coming back. So there's going to be tons to talk about. So hop back here next Monday night at 8 o'clock. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you again for being listeners. And I want to remind you guys to always keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.